One of the most important things to keep in mind in order to find happiness in this life and in the life to come is the idea of keeping our priorities straight. And then using our priorities to shape and focus everything else in our lives. This is the only way to make life both more understandable and peaceful. Remove or reduce everything that doesn't fit with your priorities. We might say we need to always put first things first. That's what Jesus does in today's gospel. A Pharisee scholar comes to Jesus and asks him, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest?" In other words, which has priority? Which commandment comes first and sets the tone for everything else? And Jesus doesn't skip a beat, but responds immediately. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. What he's done here is laid out a priority. We might say also a principle. And the first most basic priority, the first principle is love God totally. And from that it naturally follows that if you love God, you have to love your neighbor because God loves them. The first priority sets the second priority and so on. It's pretty much common sense, at least to Christians. These are the first and second priorities, or first and second principles that govern every human life. But these two principles aren't anything new with Jesus, because he's actually quoting from the Old Testament when he says this. We can go back and we find this in Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, where we find these two great commandments laid out to explain and to summarize the Ten Commandments. So what we have here is that first principle, love God with everything, which is then explained or narrowed down a little bit more by the second principle of love your neighbor. And then those two principles are further defined, made more specific, with these 10 sub-principles, if you will, we call the Ten Commandments. So that the Ten Commandments can only be understood as how you love God and neighbor. And the next level, if you will, of fundamental principles that govern all the other practical aspects and choices of our life. Now, many people don't understand this, and they seem to think that loving God and our neighbor sort of overrides or abolishes the Ten Commandments. But of course, Jesus said the exact opposite. He said, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then when the rich young man comes to him and says, "What must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." And he says, "Which ones?" He lists the commandments. He begins, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery." And on. In other words, first things first. Follow the Ten Commandments of love. Let those set the priorities and principles of everything else. Still, many people have some very strange ideas of the meaning of love. Ideas that are radically contradictory to the commandments, the principles. One of the most bizarre of these is the notion that two men or two women can love each other the same way as a man and a woman, or husband and wife, can love each other. Some will even try to say that the Bible says there's nothing wrong with this, that this is love. Please. There's that little commandment, number 6. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but it comes right after number 5. Number 5 says you shall not kill. Number 6 says you shall not commit adultery. What do you think they mean by adultery? Well, go back and look at Leviticus, chapter 20, right after the Ten Commandments. God gives a list of the acts that he includes under the term adultery. And right there on that list, right after incest and right before bestiality, is this: if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall be put to death. Now, Christians always interpret death when it says this in the Old Testament. We read it as that's a mortal sin, but that's a sin unto eternal death. We don't stone people. Okay. But what this means then is that homosexual acts are against the sixth commandment and therefore contrary to God's definition of loving your neighbor. Now, some might say, well, you can believe what you want, but we can't make laws just based on what the Bible says. But the thing is, in the case of these fundamental principles, the Bible only clearly states what every human society has already believed and what any rational human being should recognize as a self-evident truth that we find in nature. It's what we call part of the natural law or the law of nature. Another bizarre notion of love today is that if we love women, then we will respect a woman's right to choose to abort their babies. But this is neither love nor respect. The very first commandment that Jesus quotes to the rich young man, "You shall not kill." We need to remember that in abortion, there are at least two victims of the killing. Most people don't think about how the woman is victimized in abortion. The mother who by her very nature loves the baby in her womb, but is so often coerced by others into believing her only choice is to kill the one she loves so much. Words cannot describe the deep wounds she suffers from her choice, wounds that fester for years to come. True love and respect demand that we not lie to our mothers, sisters, or daughters anymore. But of course, even more than that, love and respect demand that we not allow doctors to kill any more of our unborn babies. The commandment, "You shall not kill," is the fundamental principle of protecting innocent human life. You cannot love God or your neighbor if you intentionally kill innocent people. And again, this is not just a matter of scripture. It is a basic principle of the natural law that all rational men should understand. In less than 2 weeks, Virginians will elect a new governor and other state officials. In every single race in this area, one candidate is pro-life and pro-traditional marriage, and the other candidate is pro-abortion and pro-gay agenda. That's just the fact. You can look it up. The choice is clear. How should Catholics and other rational Virginians cut through the confusion to make their voting decisions? Very simple. Put first things first. The first principle, to love your neighbor, must be central to political choices and actions. And certainly, the principle, the commandments, not to kill or commit adultery, must be as well. These then are the first principles of our political choices. And all choices we make must be consistent with them, flow from them, and protect them. And in the coming state elections, we have clear choices when we apply these principles, particularly when it comes to these two issues, abortion and the gay agenda. So how do we choose to vote? First things first. What are our priorities? And what are the priorities of the candidates? Are they in line with the principles of Christ and nature, or do they oppose them? First things first. Love God, love our neighbor, do not kill innocent life, and do not commit adultery and homosexual acts. How can we vote for candidates who reject the most fundamental human principles and hold the direct opposite priorities instead? How can we vote for them? I can't even imagine. how anyone could do that. Some say, but Father, there are other issues we have to consider. What about the economy and jobs? What about health care and immigration and discrimination, the environment? Don't these involve the same principles? Loving God and neighbor, the commandments? In fact, they do, yes. But not as directly or with the same priority or in the same order as abortion or the gay agenda. For one thing, for all of these problems, there is not one clear, objectively determined solution. When it comes to abortion, we just say, stop killing babies, okay? That's pretty clear cut. How do you handle the other problems? They're not single, clear solutions. As long as at every step along the way we strive to love our neighbor and protect his health and life, people of goodwill can differ on our practical solutions to almost all the other problems. In the end, it goes back to first things first. Under the principle that you shall not intentionally kill innocent human life, there is a sub-principle that we must also not harm intentionally our neighbor. And under that comes a lesser sub-sub-principle, if you will, that we should also try then to take care of our neighbor in need, to feed him when he's hungry, to clothe him when he's naked. But first things first. If innocent people don't have the right to life, they automatically lose the right not to be injured and the right to be helped by others. You can't have the right to eat if you're dead. Or look at it another way. Which is most important or most fundamental? If you had the choice between someone killing you or someone beating you up or oppressing you, which would you choose? Or if you had the choice between someone beating you up or simply not giving you food when you're hungry, which would you choose? I think we would all agree, I hope we would, that it's better to be alive with a black eye and an empty stomach than to be dead. So, first, don't kill innocent people. Then, don't hurt them. And then try to figure out something to do to help them to get a job or health care or whatever. First things first, priorities and principles. For example, take the illegal immigration issue. A lot of controversy about that, where angels fear to tread. So let's go there. In the first reading today, God commands, "You shall not molest or oppress an alien." It's very clear, right? We have to love our neighbor even if he's an alien. But what if our neighbor breaks the law? What if he steals something or even murders somebody? Alien or natural-born citizen, you break the law, you can be punished. The Old Testament is very clear about this. God talks about punishment all the time. Remember that thing about, we read about, you know, he shall die? But he's also clear that in explaining that just punishment is always consistent with love, even toward the lawbreaker. When you punish the lawbreaker, you can still love them. And love also towards the victims of his offense. God doesn't stop loving when he punishes us, just as parents don't stop loving their kids when they punish them. Oftentimes you punish them specifically because you love them. So in the case of illegal immigrants, we must always strive to love them. And of course, we must not kill them or physically or emotionally abuse them. And we must care for their genuine needs. But we can disagree on whether or not we should arrest them and deport them or let them stay and give them a path to citizenship. We can disagree and still love each other as neighbors. But comparing that issue, as some try to do, with abortion or even same-sex marriage, is a case of equating first principles with merely personal opinions, and it makes no sense. And it is not the teaching of the Catholic Church, no matter what any bishop or priest will tell you. we can disagree on some things and love each other. As we continue with this Holy Mass, let us pray that in this hectic confusion of our daily lives, the Lord may grant us the grace to always remember His priorities and then make those priorities ours, our own priorities. The most basic principles of loving God and neighbor and keeping the commandments taught by Christ and His church and by nature and reason. And let us pray that in the coming days, our merciful Lord will give us not the leaders that we deserve, but the leaders that we truly need. May Virginians and all Americans always remember in everything, always put first things first. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.